Okay, I think we'll start. Okay, we'll see if anyone else joins. I know that it's not the usual night for this shiur, but I just thought that given that tomorrow is Tainus and that people will therefore be probably eating at this time or recovering from the fast, so I thought we'd do something today. This is the second in the series on Parsha, Practice, and Pshat, which we'll focus for about 15 minutes on a topic in Halacha that relates to the Sedra, and then another 15 minutes on something in the Pshat and the Psukim of the Sedra. This week we read Parshas Pinchas, and Parshas Pinchas, even most Sifrei Torah, is probably the most used section of the Sefer Torah. If you look in the Sefer Torah that's used regularly in Shul, so you look in Parshas Pinchas, and it's most worn out, because we read from Parshas Pinchas very frequently during the course of the year. It's the Maftir, and every Yontif, so Rosh Chodesh, we read from Parshas Pinchas, and the Maftir on the Shalosh Regalim, and then the Leini Al Chalamoid on Pesach and Sukkot and Rosh Yom Kippur, it's the Maftir. So we're always rolling to Parshas Pinchas. So it's, a lot of shuls have the second Sefers in Parshas Pinchas, because we always read from Parshas Pinchas. Why? Because our practice is that on Rosh Chodesh and on the Yontif, the Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Yom Kippur, including Chalamoid, we always read the maftir is, or the leining for tchalamoid, always has to do with the carbon musaf that was brought on each of those yomim tovim. So on all those yomim tovim, in addition to the regular daily carbon, which is also the carbon tovim, is also described in this week's sedra, but there's also a carbon musaf that was brought every single yontif, every single chodesh, and so on. And musaf wasn't always the same for every yontif, but we always read the psukim that have to do with that carbon musaf. So a question I'd like to look at in terms of the practice part of tonight's practice in Pshat is actually a practice that we don't have, or a practice we have not to do something, and that is that we do not read the Maftir on Shabbos from Parshas Pinchas every Shabbos in the Psukim of the Korban Musaf on Shabbos. The question is, why not? Right, every Yontif, let's say Pesach, we read the Leini for Pesach, and the second Sefer Torah, we read the Maftir, which is from Parshas Pinchas, the Korban Musaf of Pesach. Same thing on Shavuot, same thing on Sukkot, same thing on Rosh Hashanah, same thing on Kippur, not on Shabbos. The question is, why not? Why don't we take out a second every Shabbos? We should take out two Sefer Torah. We should read from the first Sefer Torah the Parshas of Shavuot, whatever it happens to be. In the second Sefer Torah, we should read the Maftir, the Psukim about the Korbanos for Shabbos, the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. So that's the question. We don't do that. And the question is, why not? So there's a question already dealt with by the Rishonim in the regular Chumash Mikros Gedolos, in the Psukim, here in Parshas Pinchas, in Perek Chof Ches of Bemidbar Pasuk Tes, which is the first of the Psukim that have to do with Shabbos. Of Yom HaShabbos, we all know the Psukim, because we say them in Musaf. Yom HaShabbos, Shnei Chosim, Neish, Notinim, etc. So the Da'az Zekenu, the Balei Tosus on the Torah, raised this question. How come on every Shabbos we don't take out two Sifrei Torah? And lane from the second Torah, we should read the Musaf, right? So that's the question that Balei Tosus asks. So they give one attempted answer, which they then reject. The answer is, well, if you look carefully, only two psukim, right? The Shabbos described, Pasuk Tes over there and Pasuk Good, only two psukim that have to do with Shabbos. Right, all the other Yom Tovim have at least the three psukim, sometimes more psukim, but Shabbos has only two psukim. And we have a rule, the Gemara tells in Megillah, you can never have an aliyah with less than three psukim. The minimum, not only that, but we also have rules, you're not supposed to start within three psukim of the end of a section, and so on, all kinds of rules of where you can stop and start an aliyah, and it would not be possible to read the two psukim of Shabbos, okay, Yom HaShabbos, and the next pasuk, Ola Shabbos v'Shabbato, because that's all there is, just two psukim. So that's the answer Tosus suggests, but rejects right away and gives a simple answer. Why do we reject it? So read more. Okay, so start earlier. Start a few psukim. Who says you have to read only those three psukim? Those two psukim, rather. As a matter of fact, on Rosh Chodesh, as we know, we don't only read the psukim for Rosh Chodesh, we read the psukim before the Rosh Chodesh section. Rosh Chodesh is the fourth aliyah, Rosh Chodeshim. But we start actually with the carbon Shabbos, carbon tomid. So we can do the same thing on the Balei Tosus says we could do the same thing on Shabbat. So that cannot be the reason why. That can't be the reason why we don't read the psukim on Shabbos, because only two psukim. So then read more psukim. So Tosus rejects that answer. Tosus gives two other teretz. One teretz is that the purpose of reading the carbonus on Yontif and so on and Rosh Chodesh has to do with kapora. Every single time, it always says there's a sa'ir, there was a certain animal brought for the purpose of kapora. Okay, so Zosiri Zim Echad Lechatos Lechaper Aleichem. And such a pasuk or some variation thereof appears with all the other holidays. By Rosh Chodesh, Zosiri Zim Echad Lechatos Hashem, right? It's a chatos, okay? And by Pesach, it says, I also have a Sechatos Echad Lechaper Aleichem. And by Shavuos, you look carefully throughout the book and pay attention, landing on Shabbos, you'll see it always says you bring a special carbon that was part of the Musaf for Kapar. It doesn't say that by Shabbos. There was no Sirizim Lechatos. There was no carbon Chatos brought on Shabbos. And therefore, the Balei Tosa said that it doesn't have that same element of Kapara. And the Balei Tosa is referred, there's a famous Gemara that appears both at the end of Maseches Megillah and also towards the end of Maseches Tainis, that Avraham Avinu foresaw prophetically that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed. He was, and Eretz Yisrael was going to be destroyed. Now, of course, Baruch Hu was promised to give his descendants Eretz Yisrael, but then he says, Bamoeda ki Yerashena. The pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, how do I know that I'm going to inherit it? What do you mean? How do you know? Hashem is telling you. No, what he meant was, the Gemara says, how do I know they're not going to be driven out, right? Or they're not going to be, destroyed like the Dor HaMabul. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the Bris Ben Avsarim, take certain animals. And the Chazal understand that it were reference to karbonas. When you bring the karbonas, that will be mechaper. So Rav Avraham Avinu said, that's very nice when it's a Beis HaMikdash. What about it's no Beis HaMikdash? Don't worry, you'll read the psukim about the karbonas. That'll be good enough. That'll bring about the kapara. Anyway, that's what the whole karbonas has to do with kapara. So since on Shabbos there's no mention of kapara, therefore we don't have to read those psukim from the Sefer Torah every single Shabbos. That's the one answer Tosfos gives. Again, the first answer about having only three psukim that he rejects, and he gives this answer. Then he gives a second teretz, and that is that when it comes to Yontif, we have a special din to read about Yontif. It says, Eila in Parshas Emor, Eila Moed Hashem Mikorei Kodesh, Asher Tikra'u Osam B'Moedam. You should read about them. Vaydaber Moshe Moed Hashem B'nei Yisrael. Those are the two psukim that bracket in Parakov Gimel of Sefer Vayikra, the Yontif requirement. So you have a requirement on Yontif, and that's how the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says that it was a takana to read on Yontif about Yontif. Right? Vayidaber Moshe, the Ramban Chumash calls, Vayidaber Moshe is Moed Hashem B'nei Yisrael. Why don't you tell us that? Moshe told, Hashem told him each time, Vayidaber Hashem B'nei Yisrael, tell him. So of course he did. It doesn't say if every mitzvah that Moshe Taki went and told B'nei Yisrael. No kidding. Vayidaber Moshe is Moed, why after the Moedim does it say that Moshe went and told them? Of course he told us. Hashem told him to do by every mitzvah. We don't find by other mitzvahs that the pasuk goes out of its way to tell us that Moshe did what Hashem asked him to do. He did it. Well, he did it. So the answer is that he taught the halachas of Shabbat of Pesach on Pesach, the laws of Shavuos on Shavuos, the laws of Sukkot on Sukkot. That's the end of Maseches Megillah. Appears at the beginning of the Maseches also. So there's a special inyan, but we don't seem to find such a din with regards to Shabbos. There's no requirement to read about Shabbos on Shabbos. So therefore, they didn't institute it on Shabbos. That's the answer that the Balei Tosfos give here in their parish on the Chumash. The Daz Zaken and Balei Tosfos by Midbar Perek Chof Ches Pasuk Tes, a long piece. You can take a look at it. This same question is asked by the Balei Tosfos on the page in the Gemara. Chof Gimel Amud Aleph in Megillah. Same question. Dibur Masul Kevin Tosfos has the same kasha. It's not necessarily the same Balei Tosfos. There's no such person as we know called Tosfos. Right? There are different Rabbonim, there are different Balei Tosfos. So the Tosfos in Megillah asks the same question, and they give three terutzim. The first terutz is the one that the Daz Zaken and Balei Tosfos and the Chumash rejected. They give a teretz. You know why we don't read every Shabbos? We don't take out a second Sefer Torah and read the psukim of Shabbos? Because only two psukim. Okay, there's only two psukim. And I, Tosfos, you'll tell me, which the Balei Tosfos the Chumash said, you'll tell me you're not allowed to read less than two psukim. You're not allowed to read less than three psukim. You have to have always three psukim. So they said, so you'll read earlier. You start earlier. What's the big deal? Okay. So Tosfos said, right? You'll start earlier? No, so Tosfos, you can't say that. You can't say that. You know why? Because earlier, says Tosfos, is not talking about Shabbos. The earlier psukim has nothing to do with Shabbos. You can't just start early and read about something that has nothing to do with it. So the Balei Tosfos said, that's teretz number one. We only have two psukim. All right, what do you mean? Why don't you start earlier? Like again, that's the reason the Balei Tosfos and the Chumash rejected that teretz. They said, no, that can't be the reason because you always start earlier. Tosfos says, no, that's not a good teretz. You can't say you start earlier. The previous psukim are not talking about Shabbos. So therefore, you can what that got to do? You wouldn't be reading about it. Now you can ask in the back of your head, yeah, but it's about the Korban Tomid. That's applicable on Shabbos. Or Rosh Chodesh we read earlier. Okay, the Tosfos apparently isn't bothered by that. So Tosfos, that's teretz number one. We don't read the psukim of Shabbos from the second Sefer Torah every single Shabbos. Teretz number one, because only two psukim. I start early, you can't start early, because they have nothing to do with Shabbos. Good. Then the Tosfos give a second teretz. And that's the teretz about the kapora, right? They give a teretz. Well, that's the third teretz. We'll say it after we said it, right? The teretz about kapora, the whole kapora doesn't apply to Shabbos. Never says anything about kapora on Shabbos. And then another teretz, the sort of a practical teretz. But I'd also say, you know, we have a rule, and the Rishonim discuss it, that whenever you have laning from two Sifrei Torah, you always read the Haftorah as a theme related to the second laning. You know, notice that whatever is the last, whatever the most recent laning was, let's say sometimes you read from three Sifrei Torah, whatever the third reading is, the last reading, that's what the Haftorah comes from. So when you have Shabbos, Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh, sometimes comes out like that. It's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Tevis, and it's Chanukah. So the first start, we take our three Sifrei Torah, read from the first Shabbos, Parsha Shavua, whatever it is, usually Miketz. Shabbos, Chanukah is usually Miketz. In that situation, it's always Miketz. So we read Miketz. Then we read the Rosh Chodesh laning, then we read the Chanukah laning. Where's the Haftorah from? Chanukah. Because that was the last thing you left off with, right? The Haftorah always comes from the last thing. Or sometimes you have Parshas HaChodesh is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan before Pesach. So you have to read the Parsha Shavuot, then you read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, then you read Parsha Chodesh. Haftorah has to do with the Chodesh. Or sometimes next you'll be like that. Shkolim will be on Rosh Chodesh Adar. It'll be Shabbos Shkolim. So you read the Parsha Shavuot, you read the Torah reading for Rosh Chodesh, then you read the Torah from Shkolim. What's the Haftorah going to be from? Shkolim. The Haftorah is all you have Gemaras, and not the Gemaras from the Golem, like that. That's the Din. The Gemara really says it also. So this being the case, said the Balai Tosas, so we're going to do every single Shabbos, we're going to take out a second Sefer Torah and read the Psukim of Shabbos. The Haftorah is going to be the same thing every Shabbos. Has to do with Shabbos, right? The Parsha Shavuah doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Shabbos. Sometimes Parsha Shavuah talks about Shabbos, sometimes it doesn't. Unless we read Parsha Balak, nothing Chukas and Balak, nothing to do with Shabbos, right? So you're not going to have the same Haftorah every single Shabbos. The Balai Tosa says that's why we don't follow that practice. So that's right now we have four Terutzim. Okay, because Tosas there gives three Terutzim, one of which was rejected by the other Balai Tosas, but then they gave that other answer about Tikkur or some Adam. But those are the Terutzim which the Balai Tosas give. Now, we raise that question, but it's not a fair point, okay? What do you mean we won't start early because it's about something else? Right, that's what the Balai Tosas in the Gemara in Megillah said. We don't want to read from just two psukim. I can start early. No, you can't start early because it's about something else. So it's about something else. Rosh Chodesh we start early also. Right, Rosh Chodesh we don't just read the psukim about Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so the Achronim deal with the Bach. The Levush the Achronim deal with that question. The Bach basically says, but the rule is that the last thing, the thing that's read by the person who's finishing off, that's what the word hamaftir means, to finish off, that has to be only Minyan of the Yoma. On Rosh Chodesh, the last Aliyah is only about Rosh Chodesh. True, we have earlier Aliyahs, okay, but we have to get four Aliyahs. So we can't get four Aliyahs in the Sukkot Rosh Chodesh. We have no choice but to start early. But the last Aliyah, the last thing, the thing we live off with, that's Taka only about Rosh Chodesh, nothing else. So therefore, on Shabbos, we're only going to have one Aliyah. You can't start earlier because then you're going to have the Aliyah is not only about Shabbos, it's about other things, you know, about the Kavanah Tomid. Okay, so therefore, that's what the Balai Tosas to say, that's why we don't have the option to start early. By the way, the Levush says it a little differently. You read earlier, you're going to start earlier. The Shabbos is only two psukim. It's going to be overwhelmed by the earlier reading. We have more psukim. There, Rosh Chodesh, you have a lot more than three psukim. Where you have a chaticho or l'skabed, you have something strong, you have something solid. Okay, but here you only have two psukim, so it's going to be swallowed up. That's how they give the teretz to that question. Okay. Two other answers are found in the Rishonim. A total of six, at least I know about. The Ran gives a different teretz. The Ran and Megillah gives another teretz. They're the same kasha. And the Ran says, we only do it on Yontif. Because it's a little bit like that teretz that the Balai Tosas gave in the Chumash, that we don't lane on a special din to read on Yontif, Eila Mo'ad Hashem Mikor HaKadosh HaTikru, to read about Pesach on Pesach, Shavuos on Shavuos, Sukkos on Sukkos. But it goes further. The Ran takes it a step further. The Ran says, think about it. What's the laning in general about on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkos? It's about Pesach. It's about Shavuos, about Sukkos, right? The laning has to do with that holiday. So Mamela, now we take out a second Sefer Torah, read the Musaf. But Shabbos, we don't read the Shabbos lane, and we don't lane about Shabbos necessarily every Shabbos. But it depends what the Parsha Shavuot is. The Parsha Shavuot last week didn't have anything to do with Shabbos. Who cares? No mention of Shabbos, right? Many Parsha have no mention of Shabbos whatsoever, and yet that's what we read. So we're not reading anyway necessarily about Shabbos every single Shabbos. on Yontif, we always read about that Yontif. So Memela, we take out a second Sefer Torah. We also read the Karban Musaf. But Shabbos, we're not learning about Shabbos necessarily anyway. We're learning whatever the Parsha Shavuot happens to be. So there's no need to take out a second Sefer Torah. We only want to do it on Yontif. We want to complete the Yontif picture. You have a learning about Yontif and about the mitzvahs of Yontif or about whatever, something to do with the Tzitzis Mitzrayim, if it's based on whatever it is, you're talking about the Yontif. So now we complete it by reading a mafter about the Karban Musaf. When it comes to Shabbos, we don't necessarily learn anything about Shabbos at all from the Parsha Shavuot. So now we don't now go ahead and take out the entire Torah, read about the Karban Musaf. Why don't we read something about the Malachas on Shabbos or about something else about it? We don't do it. No mention of it. That's how the Ran answers. And others give a different Torah. Other Rishonim say that the Shabbos Psukim, everybody knows the Shabbos Psukim. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you know the Shabbos Psukim Bahar, because it's in Musaf. Yom HaShabbos Shein Chosim Neshel Timimim Ushein Yisom Solas Mincha Bolo Hashem Shkol Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato Al Ola Shabbatom B'Nisko. We know the Psukim from Shabbos. They're familiar to everybody. But you know the not to embarrass them, you know the Psukim for Shavuos. You know the Psukim for the fourth day of Sukkot. And those Psukim are not so familiar, so those we learn. So those are the six terutz that you find in the Rishonim to this question. Again, one is rejected, one is believed by some Rishonim. So different reasons why we don't lane from the second Sefer Torah every Shabbos and the Parshas Pinchas, the Shabbos laning. Either because it only has three Psukim if we accept that Teretz, you can't start earlier, or because it doesn't have an element of Kapora, which seems to be necessary. Shabbos doesn't speak about Kapora, or because there's an Inyan to read on Yontev about Yontev, we don't find it in by Shabbos, and the other answer, Tosis gave, if we get to the Ran, Tosis gave the Teretz, and otherwise the Haftarah is going to be the same every single Shabbos, right? Because Haftarah always has to be Lamai, the Solak Mine, whatever we just read. Then the Ran's expansion of one of the other answers, namely, that on Yontan Shabbos, we don't necessarily read about Shabbos at all anyway. We don't learn about Shabbos on Shabbos. It depends on the Parsha Shavuot. And then the sixth answer that the Shabbos become well known of. I can just add very quickly one answer of my own. It's very interesting. Pay attention to the laying of Shabbos, the Psukim Shabbos, this week in Parshas Pinchas. What is the Karban Musaf of Shabbos? You know what it is? Shnei Chavosim. That's all. That's all, folks. That's all there is. Shnei Chavosim. That's it. You look at all the other Tovim. There's Kavosim, and there's a Seir, and there's an Ayil, all different things. Purim, they don't find it by Shabbos. Yom HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim, and that's it. That's the whole thing. Ola Shabbos, Shabbat, that's all. What was the daily offering? Also Shnei Chavosim, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So what is Shabbos? Shabbos is just an expansion of the daily Tamid offering. In a certain sense, as I'm suggesting, all Shabbos Musaf is Karban Musaf is just an expansion of the regular daily Tamid, double the daily Tamid. It's a daily double, right? It's a double the daily Karban. That's not so by all the Yom Tov. All the Yom Tov have all kinds of different animals. Of course, you have Sukkot, many more, right? But all the, not Shabbos. Shabbos is just Shnei Chavosim. It's basically you double the weekday Karbanos. Instead of bringing two Kvasim, you bring a total of four. That's the whole thing. And Shabbos is double. In fact, the Midrashim, they show Shabbos, everything is double. Everything on Shabbos is double, the Medrash says. Because it says, the Medrash says, a Mizmor Shir, Chanukah, I'm sorry, Mizmor Shir, Lioma Shabbos. Why Mizmor Shir? It's Mizmor and Shir. It's both. Just like you have an extra neshama, double neshama, neshama Yisrael. And the Medrash says, the Onesh on Shabbos is double. Most Yumas, double language. And we have two rolls to commemorate the double portion of Mon. And we have two candles. And we have Zohar and Shomer. Many things on Shabbos are double. So Shabbos, the Karbanos are doubled as well. In fact, just as a side point, it's interesting, Diak and the Rambam. The Rambam puts the laws of the Talmud, the laws of the Musaf together, and it's called Hilchos Tamidin Umusafin. Hilchos Tamidin Umusafin. So it's two different themes, but one unit in the Rambam. Like it combines Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah, or it combines Hilchos Shofar, Lulav, and Sukkah into one unit. It means you have a few prokhim about Shofar, a few prokhim about Lulav, a Sukkah the next, and a few prokhim about Lulav. Or in Megillah and Chanukah, you have two prokhim about Megillah, two prokhim about Chanukah. What about Tamidim and Musafim? So you have a few prokhim about Tamidim and a few prokhim about the Musafim. You want to know where the Rambam talks about the Musaf on Shabbos? In the section about the Tamidim. Is that interesting? In other words, maybe he holds that the Musaf on Shabbos is like a Tamid. It's a super Tamid. It's a double Tamid. It's almost like not a Musaf. You look in the Koseres, the Rambam's introduction, he calls the Mitzvah on Shabbos Lahosif, to add all the other, it says Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Musaf of Pesach. By Shabbos Lahosif, another Lahosif, it's adding on to the Tamid. So now we have another reason, another explanation. You know why we don't lay the Musaf on Shabbos? Just like we don't lay the Talmud every day. We don't take out a Sefer Torah every day and lay the Psukim and the Karban Talmud, right? The Karban Talmud, we don't read every day. So we don't read the Karban Musaf Shabbos either because it's just an extension of the Talmud. The one thing we do, however, with this we finish, in the Karbanah section of Davening, we mentioned the Pesukim of Shabbos. Now, another Yantav. Rosh Chodesh, we do it because it's, if the reminder sounds Rosh Chodesh, you might forget it's Rosh Chodesh. But by whenever we don't read the Pesukim of Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Shoshana Kippur, we don't do it. But Shabbos, we do. Anyway, that explains our practice or our absence of a practice to read from a second Sefer Torah every single Shabbos. That's why we don't read the Pesukim of the Musaf on Shabbos from a Sefer Torah like we do on all the other Yom Tov. Adkan practice was today non-practice. The Parshas Pinchas, in terms of Pshat, you know, we find in the beginning a mystifying story. Really, the story was recorded at the end of last week's Sedra, Balak, right? So we know that Pinchas took umbrage at the fact that a Jewish tribal leader is identified here in the beginning of our Parsha as Nesivei Sov LeShimoni, Zimmer Ben Salu, right? He went ahead and he took a Midianite woman, her name was Kozi Bastur, she was a princess, and he paraded her right in front of all the Chacham, and he's very, very clear he's going to sleep with her and so on. So Pinchas got angry, and he took a spear and he stabbed him and he killed him, and that caused the Magefa to stop. Okay? So Pinchas is known as a quintessential Kanoi, because the Pasuk says in the opening Pesukim of our Sedra, Pinchas Menozer, Aminaron HaKoyin, Yeshuas Chamasiyah, when he saw, B'kanol Eskino Sibisochon. He was a religious zealot. That's how we describe it, as a zealot. Is that all right? Is that okay to take the law into your hands like that? Just go, what happened? There's no Bezin, there's no trial, no Edim. What gave Pinchas the right to do it? Not so simple. The answer is, Halacha, the Gemara tells us in Hedron of Pei Beis, okay, Kolabol Aram is Kanoim Pogimbo. If someone takes a non-Jewish woman like that in a public way, okay, and marriage is also public, everybody knows they're married, right? Kanoi and Pogimbo. What is a kanoi? What exactly is a kanoi? People misuse it and people misapply it to themselves or to other people. And what is a kanoi? A kanoi is somebody who is so disturbed about what he perceives as an insult to the Shem Hashem that he has to take action. And that's exactly what it means. What do you mean, bekano es kino si? That's a shot in the words. Kano es kino si. He was zealous on my behalf. There were no ulterior motives. He wasn't doing this because he wanted to show off how tough he was or because he wanted a chance to, you know, come into his own, take the law into his own hands. No, it's kind of Torah tested. In fact, that's the key phrase. Bekano es kino si. He stood up for me, Kadosh Baruch Hu says. You know, imagine you're walking someplace with your wife or with your mother, something like that, and somebody walks and up to her and spits in her face. So would you remain calm and say, well, you know what, shall you say to your wife, should I do something? What do you think? What? Right? You know, you'd be very upset. You'd almost want to punch the person. You'd do something. You would react in such a way that you're so offended by this, right? You wouldn't have to think twice about it. That's what a kanoi, real kanoi, is. He doesn't have to think twice about it because he's so offended by what happened, to defilement, so to speak, or a degradation of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the greatness of Pinchas, that Pasuk attested, Bekano was kinosi. He had no alter, had nothing against Zimri ben Salo. He had nothing against, nothing against this Cosby Basur. He wasn't even doing it to stop the Magefa. He was doing it because Kano was kinosi. That's what this Pasuk is testing to. He didn't do it for any other reason than Bekano was kinosi. And that's what a real kind of, many times if a person is a kanoi, but really has ulterior motives. Sometimes a person probably shtick, from shtick, because he wants to show everybody how from he is. Wants to show everybody how, you know, machmer is, or whatever it is. He's not doing it for the sake of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, doing it for the sake of himself. And it's very, very easy to cross that line, really. You want to do something, but are you really doing it l'shem shamayim? So here the Pasuk attests, bekano es kino si. By the way, as you know, if someone asks a question, should I do this? So it's called halacha ve'ein morin kein. We paskin, no, you can't do it. So Pinchas would have asked, can I kill this guy? The answer would be, no, you can't. What do you mean? I thought that's halacha. Kanoim pogmo, kalabor ramas kanoim pogmo. It's halacha v'shmi Sinai. Why if he asked, the answer is no. Yeah, it's a memorafshach. Either it's allowed or it's not allowed. Well, I mean, what are we telling? The halacha is not the way it is. You distort the halacha, you're not allowed to do that. So what's the teretz? The teretz is, a kanoim pogimbo. That's the din. But the moment you have the presence of mind to ask, then it shows you're not a kanoi. Right? The kanoi is so taken, he's so offended that he has to act. If you have the presence of mind to ask a shaila to ask, so guess what? Then you're not a kanoi anymore. So the answer is no, you can't do it. Not because kanoi pogmo doesn't apply, but you're not a kanoi. That's the idea. It's kanoi is kino si. All right. The only problem is with that. And by the way, it's interesting. If you look in that Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says as follows. It says when this was happening and Pinchas stood up, like it said in the last week's Sedra, when Pinchas stood up, so it says he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Lo kach lematatana beriditchom arsina, didn't you teach us when you came down from arsina there's a din, kanoim pogimbo? So there's a problem with that, because it looks like Pinchas was asking. Some explain he was not asking, he was ready to do it, but he had to make sure that it was made sense for the long term also. It's a side lesson, but I think it's a very important lesson. Okay, sometimes people, they want to be kanoim, and it makes sense right now, but you have to know, is it the right thing in the long run? Okay, sometimes the long term is better to stay back, better not to react, even to be a kanoi. That's what Pinchas was ready to do it. Okay, but he wanted to make sure that it was okay in the long run. And that's also what some of Medayik, the Pasuk says, that Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, he was rewarded with an eternal reward, because that was what Pinchas was a little unsure about, not whether he should do it, but whether it made sense in terms of the long term. But I want to focus for a moment on that expression, lo kachli maratono berited tcha me'har Sinai. Didn't you teach us this when you came down from our Sinai? What a strange expression. Moshe taught everything when he came down from our Sinai. So some suggest, I think I heard this in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He suggests, he said the following. The article was a couple weeks ago. He said, what did Moshe do when he came down from Har Sinai? He smashed the Luchos. Wasn't that an act of Kanos? Let's talk about it for a second. The Luchos were written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk says, Michtav Elokim. It was the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just break that? You wouldn't throw down a Sefer Torah. You wouldn't throw down the Luchos. You wouldn't throw down the rules of Sheamus. You can't even throw it in the garbage. How could Moshe throw it down? I mean, he got angry, so he lost his cool, so he smashed the Luchos. What kind of business was that? What gave him the right to do that? The Luchos, Michtav Elokim, Choros HaLuchos. You can't just destroy that because he was angry. Good, they were doing a terrible thing. Yeah, they were worshiping the golden calf, but still. What kind of, how can Moshe describe it? How can Moshe destroy it? And yet, what do we find? Find that Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed, did the right thing. He told him, Yashikoch Shashibarta. That's the very last Rashi in Chumash. Yashikoch Shashibarta. Right? It says, Aluchos, Rishonos, Aluchos, Psalachos, Shneluchos, and Korishonim, Elena Tamar, and the Tainas. Psalachos, Shneluchos, Rishon, Korishonim. It says with kasher, right? It says kasher shibarto, right? Asher shibarto. Okay, asher shibarto means yashikoch shibarto. Yashikoch, Hashem gave me yashikoch. Hashem told him it was the right thing. So now we come back. That's what the Gemara means. Pinchas said, you taught us, Moshe Rabbeinu, by doing what you did when you came down from Arsina. He taught us that sometimes you have to take dramatic action. You have to do something which otherwise would be wrong. No question would otherwise be wrong to kill this fellow Zimri. He was doing a terrible thing. But we have a process. There's a Bezdin, there's Edim, you know, there's a court case. You have to figure, you have to do it in accordance with Halacha. What kind of business? So Moshe Rabbeinu also shouldn't have smashed the Luchos. But sometimes we learn that you have to take dramatic action. That's Kanoim. You have to be a Kanoim because it's offensive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could I walk down into this people holding these Luchos made with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, engrave the letters into this little, I'm going to walk into a group of people as they're dancing around and Egal Azov. Can't do it. It's an affront to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have to break the Luchos. So that's what Pinchas says. You taught us that when you came to Arsina, the same thing here. When you came down from Arsina, that's the language of the Gemara. It's the same thing over here. Okay? I understand that I have to take dramatic action. That's what a Kanoi is. Bekano is Kinosi. Right? A Kodesh Baruch Hu is attesting to the fact that Pinchas did the right thing. It wasn't so pushy. The Medrash tells us that people were angry at Pinchas initially. Right? And they said, what kind of business? You can't just walk up and kill somebody. Another, especially, it says that Zimri ben Salu was Nasi Beisov Hashimot. He was a Nasi. He was wasn't a nobody. He was a prominent person. You can't just walk up and kill somebody. The answer, Kodesh Baruch Hu attested, yes, you can. Last thing I want to mention, the Bris was Brisi Shalom. He didn't know St. Louis, Brisi Shalom. Why of all, what's the guy, Shalom? I understand the Kahuna now is going to come through Pinchas, Bris Kanas Olam. What's Brisi Shalom? Because Pinchas did something which is really it's against what one should normally do. Yes, the circumstances dictated it, but it still could impact him negatively, right? He took two human lives. He did what he had to do, but you know something? That could negatively impact the person and make him insensitive to other human beings, right? Once you killed somebody, and there's studies about this in psychology, soldiers and so on and so forth, who have to shoot and kill people, you know, they become desensitized to human life. Okay, people in certain gangs or in the groups and, you know, fight with each other, they're desensitized to the value of human life, right? And Pinchas might think he's argumentative, he's a troublemaker and so on. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him Brisi Shalom. It's very similar, that Siv points this out, later on in the Chumash, we find a din that you have a whole a city where the robe of the Jews in the city worshipped Avodah Zarah. You destroy the city. We call that an Ir HaNidachas. One opinion the Gemara said never happened. We call that an Ir HaNidachas, right? An Ir HaNidachas. So you're supposed to destroy the whole city. You have to wipe out and destroy an entire city, entire Jews. You have to kill a Jewish city. And right there, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us on HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you mercy. What's that doing there? Right? You do this din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachamim. You know why? Again, because we don't want you to be desensitized. Yeah, there's a din, you have to do it. You have to kill out the Ir HaNidachas. But we don't become desensitized as a result of human life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that to happen to Pinchas, and now you should become callous. He killed two people. Okay, it was a terrible thing. He killed two people. He had to do it. He had to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees. Bikanos kinosi, just like Moshe had to smear shaluchos. And again, had Pinchas asked a shaila, that means he had a presence of mind to ask. He's not a kana anymore. A kana knows he has to take the law into his own hands sometimes in dramatic circumstances. When it calls for it, you have to do something dramatic the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that now to negatively impact his personality. And therefore, he didn't know, so knows, Bisi Shalom. I'm going to give him this bris of shalom that he'll be known as a man of peace. Okay, this person who took such a dramatic act and took lives at a moment of, a tremendous moment, in the heat of the moment, will now become known as a person of shalom. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. The same thing by Ir HaNidachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you rachamim. You'll be merciful people, even though you had to do this desperate act at this particular time. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him with rachamim. It won't impact your personality in a negative way. These are just some insights into the opening psukim of Parshas Pinchas, a kanoi. The same, many people claim to be kanoim, but think they're kanoim. I don't know. It's not a mantle that anyone can assume very, very easily. And even Pinchas had some hesitation, not whether to do it, but he had to consider whether it was the right thing in the long term to do this or not. And people do things, you know, that maybe make sense right now, but in the long term it doesn't. And we see going on in our country right now, people are reacting passionately in an inflamed way about certain things. Is that the right thing in the long run? Not always so simple. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu guided Pinchas, and he gave him the bris of Shalom, but on the other hand, he gave him the bris of Kunas Olam, all future generations, right, forever. So it means that Pinchas was doing what was right for the long term as well, and that's what the Torah testament, Kano es Kinasi. I hope you have a meaningful fast and ultimately a good Shabbos. And Bez Hashem, next week we'll resume on back on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, the same Zoom station. Okay.